Welcome to the Heavenly Warriors Radio Network, training people all over the world to fight spiritual darkness and wickedness in heavenly places, according to Ephesians 6:12. The Lord says, His people perish for lack of knowledge. Heavenly Warriors is dedicated to spreading the knowledge of the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're tired of being a human punching bag for the devil, and you're hungry for more Holy Spirit power in your life, stay tuned.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's an honor to bring to you now Pastor Rick Bell from HeavenlyWarriors.com. Brother Rick, welcome back. How you been, my friend?
I've been good, Shannon. I missed you guys last week. It was actually my internet went down. That was the crazy thing, and I told you it may take a while. Well, it took like 24 hours to get the thing back up. And you know we're at the mercy of the internet providers. All of this stuff works great as long as it works great. But when the internet goes down, nothing works. So you realize just how vulnerable you are. And I know you've had the same kind of issues before.
Absolutely. Oh, boy, did I. For a long time.
Yeah, and technology is just now caught up to where it's fairly seamless doing this. In the past, when you tried to stream something or have something going, it was one glitch after another. About every 4 or 5 minutes, you know, something would drop out or bump or something. But now you're talking about, I heard you mention the YouTube channel thing you're doing. Is that going to be a live stream that you're going to do something or have something?
Yes, sir. In fact, we are doing it right now as we speak.
Ah, cool.
We're using a piece of software that a friend, Natalie Olson, introduced me to.
Yeah.
And you take that. It's called XSplit. And with XSplit, you can stream right onto YouTube live at the push of a button.
Wow. Then that's tough.
Simulcast with MixLR and Blog Talk Radio. But you've got that element of video. So I'm going to let you know about it today and everybody I talked to this week. Anytime in the future you would like to do a video broadcast, all we do is I just patch you in on Skype like we're doing now. With the one addition of you turn your video on, and then your video is going to be pumped out over YouTube. Now, not everybody can do it. It may depend on where they're broadcasting from, or you may be having a bad hair day and you don't want to.
Yeah. Video's a whole nother thing, man.
Man, I had to shave today, Rick.
I know.
Because I thought I'll be on camera. You know what? The heck with it. You know, it is what it is. It's just reality.
Well, yeah, it is. You know, but video's a whole different thing, and when I'm getting ready to do a Skype, a deliverance or something, I always have to, like you said, shave and look presentable. I don't want to, look like a woolly mammoth here. When you kind of work in an office, in your home studio all the time, sometimes you don't come out of the cave for a day or two, and you can
tell me about that one.
Yeah, you know how that is. So, but video changes all that, and what you're talking about doing, A couple of years ago would have been something that was monumental, a task to get video to stream. I mean, you know this. You come from a broadcast family and a background in this, but it would have cost, tens of thousands of dollars to have the equipment set up where you could, and then the bandwidth and all of that to be able to do that. This is a major thing. And, I worked in that in my corporate endeavors. I did a lot of that, and it was just unheard of. I mean, 5 years ago, just to say something like that, it would have been, you're saying, man, you're crazy. You're going to be able to live stream and go to YouTube with it? But it's the technology. It's caught up to a point where virtually, anything, this is the greatest tool for the gospel that there could ever possibly be. And people around the world now have the opportunity to be face-to-face with men and women of God and teachers. And I, Natalie Olson is a wonderful person. She called not long ago and we had a long conversation on the phone. She had heard me on Omega Man and we spoke quite a bit. Very interesting person. So, and she was telling me of some of the new things she had going, and that was one of them. So that's awesome. You guys got that plugged in.
It's a pretty cool piece of software. And, YouTube is such a big swath of the world out there. I mean, billions using it.
Yeah, and it's free and it's easy to get stuff up. That I do some consulting with some different ministries just because I Know quite a bit about media ministry and how to get this stuff audio and video. And what I suggest to them, or have up until this point, but now there's some different softwares available. Ministries are wanting to do a service, you know, online. I always suggest, if possible, that they record the service or pre-record it, and then just do a YouTube upload, because you can embed that YouTube on any website, anywhere. It, you know, it's a little complicated, but there's a code that you can snag from YouTube that, and you can embed that code on a website, and you've got the player anywhere. And smartphones recognize it. You know, just a few years ago, it was difficult to get smartphones to see video, but all of them see YouTube. So it's an amazing platform, you know. So it's a great tool to use.
You know, and absolutely. And I think we can pick up a larger audience with it around the world based on the keywords that you can put into YouTube that people search for. And some people said they live on YouTube like others live on Facebook. So just use every piece of technology out there that we can. And if you're just tuning in tonight, it's an honor to bring to you Pastor Rick Bell from HeavenlyWarriors.com. And at this time, Rick, the mic is yours. Take it away.
Well, you know, speaking about technology and that sort of thing and the availability of people to tune in and to learn this, we are at a time right now, and the message I'm going to bring tonight is about the bell has rung. You're in the first round. Your fight has begun. You know, we've been talking all this time, Shannon, about getting in shape, and we're going to the gym, and we're preparing. We've been doing this since January and learning things every week. Well, the news this week is the bell has rung. The fight has begun. I can't tell you exactly when it began, but it's been fairly recently. And I know you experience the same things I do with the communications you get from people, from listeners. And they're telling you, they're telling me, and I'm sure they're telling you, they're experiencing struggles that they've never faced before. Mental and emotional things, besides the financial attacks and all of those other things. Their mind is under attack. And we are at a time now where every person listening to this audio is basically on their own as far as their training. In other words, I don't live in the house with you. Shannon doesn't live there with you. If we did, we would be your coach and we would get you up and get you going and get you training and doing all that. But that's not the way it works. So you're going to have to take charge of your own training and your own spiritual growth. And the sad news is the church is not going to be the place where you're going to get prepared for this. And that is pretty much a blanket statement that I am making with a heavy heart. But it's something that I've come to realize, and I am no longer in denial about that. Several years ago, actually the year was 1996, I was attending a church, and all I'd known was, you know, church membership. I was born again in 1980 with my miraculous conversion, baptism in the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues. I went from being an atheist to speaking in tongues in about a minute. And I mean, I was an atheist. I wasn't like wondering or, you know, on the fence or searching for God. I wasn't searching for anything but the bar that was open the latest. I was just searching on when the happy hour lasted the longest. I wasn't searching for God, and I went from that, being a happy atheist, to a born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christian in one evening. So I've been in it a long time, but in 1996, the Lord spoke to me. I was attending a church. I was involved in the music ministry. Some of you know I'm a full-time professional musician, guitarist, and vocalist, and done that for a very long time also. But I was, you know, involved in the music ministry at this church and driving by that church, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "Church has become a stench in my nostril." Now, this was 1996. This was a long time ago. "Church has become a stench in my nostril," is the Lord speaking to me. He said, "It's a social club. It's where people go to hear what they want to hear and fellowship with with their friends. It's social. It's more about social. I'm not in it. And I went, okay, so what do I do with that information? But I knew that the Lord was speaking to me that there was a change taking place. So all these years later, here we are, and we are seeing, Shannon, the fruit of the church's ineptness and inability and ignorance concerning the things that we are going to do battle with and that are doing battle with us, the spirit realm, the demonic, where all hell is breaking loose. The church doesn't have a clue what to do about it. Just recently, we have a close friend who invited us to come to her church. She wanted us to come to church, and we said, sure, you know, we'll come. And she said, oh, it's a great church. It's awesome. You'll love the praise and worship music, and it's great. So we go. You know, I always go with an open mind, and I'm thinking, well, maybe this is the one where I'm going to find some place I can send people and say, hey, these guys are teaching some power. You're going to need this power. But we go, and it's a beautiful building. Lights, you know, great. Stage is great. Everything, finest music equipment. Praise and worship band doing their normal thing. Singing one chorus of a song for 44 minutes. Repeating it over and 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 over again. And service was about 2 hours and 45 minutes, which was about 2 hours too long, to be honest with you. So we come out of there, and our friend says, wow, wasn't it awesome? Wasn't it just about awesome? I said, well, for some people it would be awesome, but for what we are facing and the times we are heading into, there's no meat in there. You're in baby formula stuff. There's no meat. And she said, well, what do you mean? And Shannon, it's one of those things, if you have to explain it, they don't get it.
That's right.
If you have to explain it, they don't get it. And I was one of those people for a long time, and I am finding no fault or throwing any rocks. All I am doing is I'm standing on the highest hill I can get on and yelling at the top of my lungs, wake up, we've got to get in shape, and you're not getting in shape with that stuff you're sitting under. There's no fruit of any power. It's a feel-good thing. It's where people go because they've become accustomed to going and getting the praise and worship music fix, where they get in a trance and they, you know, bend over and do the whole thing. That's great, but there has to be some teaching with some power in it. But there's not. And if you look in 2 Timothy 3, you'll find that in the last days they're going to have a form of godliness, but there's going to be no power involved in it. There are going to be people who are constantly listening and being taught, but they're never learning anything. 2 Timothy 3:6 says, for this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. Now, I would say that's not just women. That's men and women. Here we go. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we have churches full of people who are always learning. Every Sunday they go there, they're learning. But they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth. The truth will set you free. Not just more knowledge. but truthful knowledge. You must know the truth. My whole life's calling, I've been a truth seeker. And that has manifested itself in different ways. But let me talk about one way. It's really who I am today. Coca-Cola had a slogan years ago called Coke, it's the real thing. I've always needed the real thing. When I got into karate, martial arts, self-defense, I wanted to box, but I couldn't find a boxing gym. I didn't know how to get into that, but I got into a karate class. When I was a kid, I took my first karate class. I was about, 12 or 13 years old. And there was a local plumber who taught karate in the evenings on Tuesdays and Thursday evenings. I talked to my dad into taking me to karate class one night, and I wanted to join the karate class. But I got in the karate class, and I saw that, man, they knew a lot more than I knew. Now, I thought I knew a little karate because I had ordered a book, Shannon, a paperback book, for about $1.50 online in the back of a magazine. And the name of the book was Super Karate Made Easy. It was a little paperback book, about 120 pages. When that book came in the mail, you know, when a kid gets something in the mail, it's a big thing. In those days when you ordered something, I put quarters and nickels and dimes in an envelope and sent it off to the publishing house in New York or wherever, not knowing. Actually, when I went to drop it in the mailbox, my dad said, "What's in that envelope?" I said, "Well, I'm ordering a book." He said, "Yeah, but what's in the envelope?" I said, "Well, the money to pay for it." I dropped it in the thing. He said, "No, you don't put money in an envelope like that and send it." Well, I didn't know. So, you know, 6 weeks later, my book arrives, Super Karate Made Easy. Now, this book, I took that thing and I went cover to cover. I read it. I memorized it. It had some of the craziest, most insane things in it that you were supposed to do. One of the things was, you were to take a towel, a bathroom towel, and go out to one of the trees in your yard, tie the towel around the tree with some string, and then repeatedly punch and strike the towel attached to the tree as hard as you can to, quote, toughen up your hands.
Wow.
So I'm a kid out there hitting this thing. And one of the techniques they said was something called a chicken head wrist. So if you take all of your fingers and bunch them together with your thumb, your hand kind of looks like a chicken head, right? So this was supposedly a technique that you go up and you strike that tree with the chicken head wrist repeatedly. It was one of the, you know, the death blows. So I'm doing all this stuff, Shannon, beating myself up on this tree. My dad comes out and says, "What are you doing?" "I'm doing what my book told me to do." He said, "I don't know, son. I think that money might have been wasted." I said, "No, this is what the book..." So I believed what this book said. That was my only frame of reference. That was all I had, all I knew. So when I went to karate class, 13 years old, my dad took me. It was an upstairs old building in downtown, my small town in East Texas. Went upstairs and there was a class of maybe 15 or 20 people, and about half of them were young people, some of them my age, some of them I'd gone to school with, and I knew. And I was so ready with my Super Karate Made Easy techniques. But when I got in the class, I realized they weren't doing the Super Karate Made Easy techniques. They were doing something totally different that looked a lot more effective than my chicken head wrist technique. So I became intimidated that night, and my dad said, "Well, do you want to take karate lessons?" And I said, "No, I think I'll just keep studying my book that I have." You see, because that was my comfort zone. I wanted to have my little paperback book. And in the back of this paperback book, Shannon, you're going to love this. There was a little thing that you filled out. It said, if you've read this book all the way through, fill out this page with your name and tear it out of the book. And it said, you are an official black belt now. I wrote my name in that, tore it out, folded it up and put it in my wallet. And I carried it around for a couple of years. And if someone would say anything to me, I'd say, well, you need to know that I'm a black belt. And Shannon, I fully believed I was a black belt in karate. I really believed that. And I carried that thing around with me for I don't know how long. Until I went off to college. And I had to take a PE class. And the only PE class I, you know, found interesting, I didn't want to play badminton or basketball. I'm not exactly the right physical frame to play basketball. It was a karate class offered. So I took the karate class, signed up for that. And I started discovering what real karate was about, what it was. It was a very tough class. The instructor was an ex-Marine. Tough guy, and it was hard. But I absolutely loved it, got involved in it, and stayed for a while until I got dropped out of college to go back on the road playing music. But as I traveled on, I ended up in a town with a full-time karate studio, so I signed back up, and I started learning karate. But the karate that I was learning in college from the ex-Marine was very effective and based in reality. But the karate I was learning at this commercial school was really a watered-down kind of motivational exercise, aerobics, meets, something, self-defense kind of class. So I was involved in that for 6 months to a year, and because I liked the training, the physical, and all of that, I stayed with it and did it full time, pretty much every day training. But at some point in that first year, I went to the instructor and I said, you know, some of the things that we're doing in here just seem a little bit fanciful, that this wouldn't really work in a self-defense situation. And the instructor says to me, oh, no, they won't work in a self-defense situation. Don't even try them in self-defense. They're just for show. And I said, well, why would we just be learning this stuff if it's not going to work? If I have to defend myself, you're telling me these things won't work? And the instructor said, no, this stuff won't work. He's telling me this stuff. The guy's, he's a little older than me, and actually he became my best friend. But he was a great martial artist, just one of those talented guys, could do the full splits, you know, everything. Great. I mean, really good martial arts. He told me, he said, no, this stuff is just for show. He said, I got in a fight one time and tried to use this stuff, and I got beat up. Now, Shannon, this is coming from my black belt instructor, who you kind of had this little hero worship thing going on. And I just sank. I said, you mean all of these moves, these fancy moves? He said, no, those aren't going to work. He said, what works is kickboxing, where it's full contact, where they're really hitting you and you're really hitting them. That's the only real thing that works. I said, kickboxing. Now, that's a good idea. He said, well, I'm getting into kickboxing. And he was at that time, so we began to train for kickboxing, and that led to my full understanding of what reality is with self-defense. Now, from my kickboxing career, of course, that's real. Nothing staged. That's not championship wrestling. When you get in there, those guys are trying to knock you out, and if you happen to die in the process, oh, too bad. Next, on to the next fight. It's a very serious environment. So I told you my story before about going to the boxing gym and the 12-year-old, punching me till I didn't know which way was left or right. And when I was a grown man and the kid was doing that. So I realized that the reality of really being able to defend yourself is not going to be found in the little book, and it's not going to be found in the commercialized karate school. So I asked the instructor, why are you teaching this watered down stuff? He said, oh, it's the only way to get people to come and keep them paying their tuition each month. If you really teach them the real stuff, it's too hard for them and they won't do it. We're trying to give them something that's just fun, that they'll just have exercise with and get in shape, and they'll earn these belts. And I said, but they're going to have a false sense of security with all of that. He said, well, yeah, I guess I never thought of it that way. Well, that really bothered me, Shannon, that they were not learning reality. They were just going through the motions of things that looked good. Unfortunately, the church in America is like that commercial karate school that I went to. That karate school was in business to get people to pay tuition. They weren't in business to really teach people self-defense. They were in business to get people to pay them tuition for an activity that was fun and required you to exercise and sweat a little bit and gave you a feeling of accomplishment at the end of the workout. That's what they were doing. The church is doing the same thing. They're giving you something that feels good. You feel motivated. You listen to it. You go through the motions. You do the same thing week after week. You hear basically the same things, same programs, same music. But you don't see the fruit of anything changing in your life. And that's kind of been okay up until now. But we've crossed a barrier. Something's changed in the spirit realm. And every one of you that move in the spirit realm and know that, something has changed. And we have intensified in the warfare. I could go down a laundry list of things that are happening right now in the world. Shannon, have you noticed that every time now, every day, if you turn on the network news, there will be this statement, or this series of words or phrases you will hear. Unprecedented. Never before. Worst in history. Unimaginable. Stronger than anyone could have imagined. And they're describing anything from fires burning, volcanoes becoming back active after they've been inactive for decades. Any number of things. We're at the extreme of that. And it's going to continue to get worse and worse. The paranormal, all of the things that are going on around you, the supernatural, those things are going to increase. People are reaching out to me and saying, I don't know what's going on, but I'm just struggling. You know, spirit-filled people who have been in this for a while, they are struggling. And why is that? It's because the presence of evil has increased in the land. We've been saying it over and over. We're at a point now where it can no longer be denied. We have come to a time when I've never seen such absolute disrespect for true Christianity, for true followers of Jesus. We are laughed at and lampooned, and it is acceptable in the mainstream media. The late night comedians and talk show people, they roast Christianity. I just ran across an 18-minute bit today by one of the late night television guys. I don't know who he is. I don't watch late night television. But one of the guys, and he had a whole little skit worked up on televangelists and demons and faith healing. Oh, and he laughed, and they just the audience just hooted about it. And it was really cleverly done. You know, Satan's clever when he puts stuff together. And everyone who was watching it came away from it going, yeah, that's what I think of those guys too, and all that spirit stuff. Woo, demons, yes, you're right. They'll be saying that all the way until they stand before Jesus, and he says, I sent these people to you to try to teach you something, to try to warn you, to try to get you in position to withstand what was coming. But you laughed at it and just made sport of it. Well, the times, they are a-changing. And evil is going to continue to increase. And what I've been saying now for a while is that the issues you have, the issues we have been trying to work on in the Holy Ghost gym, those Galatians 5 issues, you know what I'm talking about, they're going to get it stronger in you. The demons are going to strengthen. So if you've struggled with something and it has not been dealt with, it's going to begin to take over more and more of your life. And that may manifest itself in something like depression. You just may start feeling depression. You just may start feeling blue more than ever. And you're not sure why you're feeling that way. Let me tell you a story about a friend of mine. Known him for many years. He's a pastor. He and his wife, both pastors. We did some ministry together. Good guy. One of the best guys I've ever known, to be honest with you. Sweet guy. Sweetheart. Giver. Loves people. A few years ago, we decided to... He decided he was going to go and minister in some areas that required you to kind of be rough. All right, I'm not going to get into the specific ministry. I don't want to name this individual. But he got involved in these areas, and I went over to see him one day, and I noticed that his wife was smoking a cigarette. You know, no big deal, you think, and I know people that are listening to this may still be addicted to those cigarettes, which you shouldn't be. You need to get off of them. But I'm not picking on you. That's not the point of what I'm saying. And I noticed that she was smoking a cigarette. And I asked him, I said, when did she start smoking again? Because listen, they had come out of a lifestyle of drug abuse and every kind of abuse. They were rough. God had saved them, and they were on fire for Jesus. Good people. I said, when did she start smoking again? He said, well, we started. I said, we? He said, yeah, the people we're ministering to, you know, they just look at us kind of funny if we're not smoking with them, because they think, or do you think you're too goody good? So it's just part of the ministry. I said, brother, that addiction to those cigarettes is a doorway for demonic oppression. It's just, think of that cigarette as a door holder. That's a demon that gets in there, and he will hold the door open for more to come in. Believe me, that is the strong man of addiction. That's it. Why do you think the last thing to go is that cigarette addiction? If you've ever seen an AA meeting, the 12-step program, they're like chain smoking events. You know, those people that stop drinking, they just smoke more. And I mean, I know it's a strong addiction. I've never smoked. That's never been a thing. My mother and dad smoked like chimneys. And I guess growing up in it, I said, man, if I ever get out of this smokehouse, I don't ever want to put one in my mouth. And I haven't. I didn't. But I know it's a strong addiction. It's like heroin, but it is a spiritual thing. And so this friend, the pastor and his wife, little by little, months go by, it turns into a year. I see him slipping. Hadn't seen him in about a year. Something told me to go check on him this last week. So I went to check on him. I knock, 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 knock on the door. Nobody comes to the door now. The place where they're living, it's run down quite a bit. Hadn't been kept up. Finally, comes to the door. But I can tell that he's been drinking a lot. Not just a little, but a lot. So I ended up spending time with him and just, loving on him. And he shed some tears and I shed some tears. And I'm going to try to get him out and back, back going again because he's depressed. I mean, he is suicidally depressed. Now, how did he go from being a happy, owning his own business, being successful, to he's sold everything, he's given up his business, says he doesn't know what he needs to do, he just doesn't know what to do, so he just sits there all day and drinks. Now, Shannon, that was little by little, a line upon line. You give that devil one little bit of you, and he will slowly take ground. Now, why am I saying this? Why am I telling this story? Because there are many of you out there who have open doors. And those doors must be shut. And as quickly as possible. Because, listen to me, with each passing day, the doors get more difficult to close. Let me say that again. With each passing day, the doors you have open will become and are becoming more difficult to close. What you may have been able to deal with a year ago, it's a whole new ball game today. And the demons are running the show. Don't let anyone, including the demons, talk you out of that. They are running the show. I had a conversation with someone. I forget what it was, but it was a minister. And they were talking about the spirit of pride. And he said, when the spirit of pride is active, one way that you can absolutely know that the spirit of pride is operating in a person is that person will tell you they don't have a spirit of pride. Well, that's not a spirit of pride. Well, that's not what that is. He said, that's the demon itself telling you that. I said, oh, I know, man. I know what you're talking about. He's right. You see, the demons will now take over and they'll argue with you. There's a ventriloquist, if you know what ventriloquism is. That's the guy, has the little dummy that he talks. The ventriloquist talks and then the dummy's mouth moves. There's a guy named Jeff Dunham who is a ventriloquist. And he had a little DVD out a while back. And it was called Arguing with Myself. I thought, that's appropriate. You see, that's what we end up doing. We end up arguing with ourselves. The demons began to speak for us. And the demons will get you so far in denial that your reality becomes skewed. The worst thing that can happen to you is something I taught about on the very first Omega Man broadcast I ever did, and it's called unconscious incompetence. That is Satan's greatest tool. Unconscious incompetence. In other words, you don't know what you don't know. And you think, as a result of that, you're good to go. Oh, I'm good. Oh, I don't believe in all that. Well, that's not how I define that. I don't care how you define that. It is what it is. The fruit of it will speak for itself. It's not up to self-definition. But see, Satan has deceived so many people, and the delusion is getting stronger. It's not going to get easier, so what do you do? First of all, and you know, this is going to, there's going to be some pain involved in this for some people. But you're going, and listen, it's not easy for me to sit here and teach you like this. I don't get any pleasure out of doing this and telling you, you know, you've got to get ready for what's coming. But it's the truth. If I don't, I'm going to answer to the Lord for it. There's going to be some pain involved. Some of you are going to have to take a serious look at your church involvement in what you're doing. Because to be honest with you, some of your church activity is going to be counterproductive. It's going to lull you to sleep when you need to be out there training, punching the heavy bag spiritually, you know, running spiritually, doing 500 sit-ups spiritually, rather than sitting there and being told another Bible story. We don't have time for that anymore because, listen, the fruit of your life is not substantially different today than it was 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 years ago. Look at yourself and see, is the fruit of my life, has something substantially changed? Have I turned a corner with my spirituality? Am I moving in a newer power, a different power now? What it's going to require is sometimes some deprogramming. When you've been sitting under religion for so many years, for so long, it can program you and set a mindset for you that makes it very difficult for you to even receive something like the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Your religious pre-framing, we've talked about pre-framing before, that's a term used for in marketing, when you're trying to sell someone something, you pre-frame their mind for the close of the sale. But you've been pre-framed with religion to stunt your growth. And you have a hard time breaking out of that box. When I met my wife, she was raised as a Jehovah's Witness, which that never took with her. She thought that was nutty. But she'd been in the Lutheran church for the last 20 something years. I mean, really, really involved in the Lutheran church. Kids in the Lutheran church, all the summer activity, summer camp stuff, Lutheran 2 or 3 days or nights a week, church. And she was, that's what she did. When she met me, she thought I was kind of out in left field. She'd never heard this radical stuff. This is radical. All of this born again and Holy Spirit stuff. And you mean you're actually supposed to read your Bible? Well, that's what the priest is supposed to do for you. You can't understand the Bible. I mean, this is all kind of the mindset that she had come from. But you know, a funny thing happens when you get around Holy Ghost people. It's contagious. And she opened her heart up, and the Lord got a hold of her under a tent in Waco, Texas. It was about this time of the year. It was about 103 degrees outside under a big tent with one light bulb hung. You know, those big revival tents that you can rent? This was an evangelist that was having a meeting out there, and I had gone over to play guitar for this guy. I mean, out of the blue, the Holy Spirit spoke to me that day, and his name's Brother Charlie. And said, call Brother Charlie and offer to go and play music for him tonight. He needs some music at a revival he's doing. Well, I didn't know anything about it. I had Brother Charlie's number. I called him, and I said, Brother Charlie, am I supposed to come play music for you tonight? Do you need music? He said, oh, thank you, Jesus. He said, I've been praying for somebody to call that could do music. The person that I had is not going to come, and I didn't have any music. He said, brother, could you bring a sound system too? I said, brother, how many sound systems do you want me to bring? Because I have plenty of them. So it was an answer to prayer. So we go over there, and we're under the tent with Brother Charlie. I'm playing guitar, and you know, Shannon, I play a lot of guitar.
That's
so
right.
we're in the projects over there in East Waco with drive-bys and gangs and all that, and we're in a field right there in the middle of the projects. And we're playing some music, and these four young men come by, and they're in there. They look to be 15 or 16 years old. They're too young to drive. They're walking down the sidewalk. They hear me playing that guitar, and I see them. So I throw in some, you know, pretty hot licks and stuff, make it sound pretty cool for them. So they come under the tent because they want to see this dude playing the guitar. So they come up, and they sit about two rows behind the front row, and they got all four of them sitting there. And I'm playing that guitar, and they're just watching every move. And the song stops. I says, "How you guys doing?" They're "We're all right." I said, "Let me guess. You guys are in a band, aren't you?" They said, "Yeah, how did you know?" I said, I just know. I said, "You like this guitar playing?" They said, "Oh, man." I said, "Tell you what, I'll give you some pointers if you'll stick around to the end of the service. You do that, and I'll show you some things." They said, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir, we will." Long story short, they're sitting there. We go through the thing. Brother Charlie, at the end, he's this evangelist who drives a 1979 pickup truck, and it's not a restoration deal. It's the actual one he had in 79, you know. He spends his days going around to restaurants and picking up the food that they throw out in the dumpsters and taking it under the bridge where the homeless people are. That's what the man does. He gets under a tent, and he preaches with an old Bible that looks like it'd been run over by a diesel truck. He's blind in one eye, can barely see out of the other one, and he's a preaching machine. You know, maybe he graduated the 6th, 7th grade, I don't know. He's a preaching machine. He's got a pulpit that it looks like he made out of 2x4s and a piece of plywood. We're standing in this hayfield under this tent with one light bulb on an extension cord. The extension cord's plugged into a house about 50 yards away. I don't even know if the house knew that they had plugged into it or not. Brother Charlie might have gone up and just found a plug and plugged in. You get in this picture. These four boys are sitting on the front row, or two or three seats back from the front row. Brother Charlie looks at one of them at the end of the thing and says, "Young man," he said, "I see you. I see you." And the boy looks around and says, "He talking to me?" Brother Charlie walks over and says, "I saw you the other night. He said you were sitting on your bed like this." And Brother Charlie sits down and puts his head down between his knees. He said, "You were sitting like that, and you were thinking about suicide." And this boy's eyes got big. And Shannon, tears welled up in his eyes, and he started to weep. He said, "How'd you know that? How did you know that?" And Brother Charlie said, "The Holy Spirit told me, son. Now it's time to get right with Jesus." And he went to the next one. He said, "Young man, you, I saw you. I saw you take that joint." And so, and he went right down the line, all four of them. And Shannon, he read their mail. And these boys are weeping. Listen, they were walking down the sidewalk in the hood. And they stopped in because they heard a guy playing guitar sounding crazy. They stopped in, and Brother Charlie's got them over there on their knees accepting Jesus. And while this is happening, my wife is sitting in a chair. And I think he said, "Stand up." And that was as far as she got. She stood up. And her feet went out from under her. She hit the ground. And this is a hay field. Thank goodness it was kind of soft. It wasn't pavement. I'm still up there with the guitar, you understand. She's on her back. Looks like her body's coming off the ground. Her feet are shaking. Her hands are shaking. It's like she's having an epileptic fit or something. And she's not epileptic. I mean, her whole body was coming off the ground. And all of a sudden, she started to speak in tongues. It started to flow out of her. She said, "Can you see? Can you see? The sparklers coming out of my fingers." She said there was fire coming out of her fingers and her toes. That's what she felt like. She wanted to know if I could see that coming out of her. Now, that's the kind of power. That's the kind of fire that we are going to have to make it. your paradigm, the thing that you've been in, the thing that my wife, what she thought she knew all she needed to know, that was unconscious incompetence. She didn't know what she didn't know. But she was willing to go to the hayfield to listen to this guy named Brother Charlie in the projects preaching a sermon. It's time for the church to break their paradigm. People, some of you are going to have to come out of the church you're in. I know that's not a popular message, but it takes guts to sit here and say it. I don't have time to play games with you anymore. You don't have time to waste in a non-productive environment. If there's not fire and Holy Ghost power flowing in that church, you probably need to get out of it. There's probably not a good reason for you to stay in it unless you're the pastor. And if you are, you need to turn the corner and get some fire in that pulpit. They may run you off, but you are going to answer for what you're teaching. For those of you who've left your church, you don't have a church right now, you are not necessarily in a bad place, because there's going to come a time when the true church is going to be underground, and it's really going there now. You see, Omega Man Radio is a form of an underground church. We can't get mainstream. Shannon will tell you that. Mainstream wouldn't touch this with a 25-foot pole. There's going to come a time, and it's already here, where society is going to embrace the apostate church. It's doing that. It's okay with the Joel Osteen churches. I'm not just picking on Joel Osteen. I'm just using that as an example. It's kind of okay with that because it's just a motivational feel-good, nice people, good people. Well, we give our tithes. We pay our tithes, so everything's going to be good. We're into a new time. The bell is rung for the first round, and the fight is on. So you're going to have to get up, and you're going to have to do what I had to do. Because there was no one to teach me this stuff. I had to do something called self-educate. I am self-educated. I believe Shannon will tell you the same thing. Shannon is probably self-educated. He's had to learn how to do this stuff. He didn't go to a school that said, this is how you're going to do a worldwide radio broadcast. This is how you're going to do a seven-day-a-week blog thing. And this. He had to go through the school of hard knocks and educate himself. There's not a place you're going to find that's going to teach this stuff, more than likely, in your area. So you're going to have to turn to alternative media, like Omega Man Radio, and you're going to have to start digging into some books and reading. And you're going to have to forget some of the things that you may have been taught and start with a clean slate. Because if you don't, you're going to have a form of godliness with no power. And if you don't have the power, it may be working okay for you today. I'll check with you in 12 months and see if it still is, because the chances are things are going to drastically change between now and then. I think there are some major changes coming. I have prophetic people who are calling me, contacting me, that are proven prophetic people. These aren't just, oh, I had a pizza dream last night. These people call and say, we need to talk. God is showing me some things that are coming down. We need to talk. So I would tell you tonight, it's time to take that real self-examination. We've been talking about the heart model. Go to my website, heavenlywarriors.com. Find the heart model. If you haven't done that, do that now. Start looking at yourself and examining yourself, because what I want to leave you with tonight is something called top of mind awareness. Top of mind awareness, TOMA, T-O-M-A. And it's a term we used to use constantly when we were trying to do marketing for something. Our goal with marketing a product was to develop top of mind awareness, which means, and I'll give you an example, Goodyear tires. Everyone's heard of Goodyear tires. Why do you think they have the Goodyear blimp? Why would they spend all the money to buy a blimp and put Goodyear on it? What does that have to do with selling tires? Well, here's what it has to do. When you see that blimp, you see the word Goodyear. That goes to the top of your mind. And if you get enough exposure to a message, a marketing message, when you get in the market to buy tires, guess what the first brand's going to come to your mind? It's going to be Goodyear tires. That's what top of mind awareness is, T-O-M-A. That's what Coca-Cola, every marketer strives to build, top of mind awareness. Coca-Cola's not trying to sell you a Coke at the moment you're watching that commercial. They're not trying to sell you a Coke right then. They're trying to sell you a Coke the next time you get thirsty. They want the top of your mind to think Coca-Cola. As followers of Jesus, you're going to have to develop a type of toma, top of mind awareness, of spiritual things. You're going to have to start to see everything. I'm like a broken record. I preach this every time. You need to see everything through spiritual eyes. Don't let anyone talk you out of that, not even the voices in your own head telling you, oh, that's pretty extreme, man. I don't know. Forget that. Throw that out the window. You have nothing to gain by listening to that voice, but you have everything to lose. Walk on the wild side. Get radical. Let me tell you, your enemy is radical. Satan is radical. You are going to have to get radical to beat him. So top of mind awareness when it comes to spiritual things. The other top of mind awareness I want to touch on tonight, now I'm out of time, we'll pick up on this next time, is curses. If you know there's a curse in your family bloodline that's been discovered, once you discover it, that has to move to your top of mind awareness. And what I mean by that is, you can't think of it one time and say, oh, I dealt with that, and forget it and move on. No, you have to be on guard for that same spirit to try to come back to you, because he will set up traps for you to step into so that he can regain entrance to you. So it's a different way of thinking, and we'll pick up more on it next time. Shannon, I'm going to hand it back to you, buddy, because I know we're at the top of the hour right now.
Great word tonight. Rick, what shall we title the broadcast for the archives?
Let's title the archives, The Bell Has Rung and Your Fight Has Begun.
The Bell Has Rung
and Your Fight Has Begun.
Fight has begun. Awesome. We have Pastor Rick Bell on every Monday. Rick, before we close and go on to the next broadcast, I want you to give out your website, any updates you'd like to give, and tell people how they can support your ministry.
Absolutely. My website is heavenlywarriors.com, and I encourage you, if you haven't done so, please go there and sign up to be part of my little mailing list. I don't bombard you with email stuff. You guys know that. When I have something to send you, I want to be able to contact you, because we are going to need a network to be able to reach out and contact each other. So heavenlywarriors.com, HEAVENLYWARRIORS.com. There's the little heart model in there. I think it's under downloads, or I think I might even have a tab that says heart reconstruction model. But do that. If you'd like to email me directly, and I love to hear from you guys, you can get me at rickteaches, RICKTEACHES, at AOL.com. There's a little support button, PayPal button on my website. And any of you guys that feel led to support me, I really appreciate it. And I love to hear from you, too. So reach out and say hello. Drop me an email. Tell me what's going on in your life. I'm a little behind on answering them all, because there are just so many of them that come in, and I try to take my time with each one of them. I will get to every one of them. I have Shannon may know this. When you do different websites, sometimes it will automatically assign you an email address to that website. It's something called a WordPress blog, and it's kind of complicated, but they'll give you an email sometimes. Well, I had this other email that I didn't even realize, and I just looked at it for the first time the other night by accident. Well, it was when my internet went down, Shannon, last week when I was bringing it back up. They had this other email there, and I thought, this is strange. I've never looked at this email. I opened it, and there were hundreds of emails of ministry stuff in there. So please forgive me if I haven't gotten back to you yet. I will. I promise. I want to get to every one of you, and I want to spend the time that's necessary to minister to you and do all that I can. So, yeah, please send me an email at rickteaches@AOL or go to heavenlywarriors.com and hook it up and sign up. And God bless all of you. Thank you so much for listening. And we're in this thing together, and it's only going to increase in intensity from here. Shannon, I'm giving it to you.
Rick, thank you for coming on tonight, my brother. And we'll see you next time.
Yes, you will. God bless you.
God bless you, Rick.